right, welcome back to the Hall Pass Podcast. This is our season 2, episode 10. It's actually our final episode of our season 2. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find it on iTunes or www.thehallpasspodcast.com. Again, we would love for you to send us an email of general topics and questions you might want us to cover in our podcast at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
Nice, yeah. Punkage. Just a quick announcement that this is going to be our final episode until January as we focus on our students for college application season. We would still love to get emails and questions or topics that you're interested in for us to cover to discuss during our next season. Give you guys a little bit of snippet on what we're going to be talking about during our next season at the end of our episode today. So today we just have my two boys, Jay and Punkage.
Hey there.
Hello.
Travis is on a volleyball tour. He's a professional volleyball player. And Richard is no longer with us. He is at UPenn, so he's enjoying Philadelphia. So we'll have to recap with us three today. What we're going to do today is something a little bit more unique, kind of what we did with season one, where we are going to have case studies. We're going to do two specific case studies on students. They're actually real students that we've had or we have right now. And we're going to use all of the things that we've learned this season, such as, you know, how to build your college list, your, you know, sports and college recruitment, personal statements and essays, accelerated programs, motivational strategies, study habits. We're going to talk about all of those things in terms of giving advice to students based on their specific case studies. If you guys want to see the case study data, I am going to mention it here on the episode, but you can also go to our website at www.thehallpasspodcast.com. You can click on today's episode and it will have the case study data in there as well for you to follow along with. Okay, so let's get started, boys.
Sounds good.
Case study number one. We have a student who has a GPA of a 3.5 unweighted, 4.2 weighted. As you guys remember, there are two GPAs at some high schools, unweighted and weighted. You can listen back in on season one if you don't know the difference between unweighted and weighted GPAs. The high school that they go to, we're going to keep it anonymous, but it is a competitive high school in Southern California. The student is currently in 11th grade. Their SAT 1 score is a 1480, 740 in math and 740 in reading writing. SAT 2s, they have taken math level 2, got a 750, US history got a 720, world history got a 740, biology a 710, and chemistry 770. All of these scores are out of an 800 max. APs, calculus AB, they got a 5, US history a 4, world history a 4, human geography a 3, biology a 4, and chemistry a 4. Extracurricular activities, they're on the tennis team, varsity team, key club, vice president, journalism, environmental club, rocketry club, and Red Cross club. Their college list, colleges that they want to apply to: Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Northwestern, Johns Hopkins, UCLA, Berkeley, Pomona College, and Williams. All right, boys. So we have a very interesting student here in front of us. Let's kind of give general advice. We can start with the college list. You know, what do you guys think about the student's college list, you know, based on their data?
So I'll take a stab at this. You know, a lot of people know Counselor Jay, which is me, to be not the nicest kind when it comes to giving a raw, truthful diagnostic. And so I'll try to be true to that today.
You'll be mean.
So I'm going to be a little bit critical here. I'm looking at the college list, for example, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, you know, even Williams College, Pomona, Johns Hopkins, Northwestern. And, you know, what really stands out to me as the biggest concern is the unweighted GPA. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, I'm kind of glazing through the test scores because at a 1480 SAT score, half and half, 740, 740 each. It's not a bad score. It's not the highest score, but it's permissible. I wouldn't point to the test scores, even the SAT 2s of 720s, 740s, 5s and majority 4s, and 1-3 on the AP test to be indicative of, oh, yeah, he may not make it into school. That's not what I'm looking at. What I'm actually looking at is the unweighted. So I'd be more interested right off the bat to see if there's a story to tell about his GPA, because I feel like his GPA is the number one limiter when we're looking at these lists of colleges. A 3.5 unweighted tells me you have either a lot of B's or you have a couple of C's, and you're going to have to try to redeem yourself there for these levels of schools. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, hopefully, that there is a sort of trend. Parents, students, I want you to realize just because you got two C's your freshman year doesn't mean it's game over. They also want to see growth. And so I kind of am being a little bit paradoxical with my advice, because on one hand I say I'm looking at the GPA, the unweighted 3.5 to be precise. And then at the same time, in other podcasts, I say, don't worry about calculating the numbers, the 3.4 versus 3.5, unweighted, weighted, 10th to 12th, 11th to 12th, academic, non. There's so many different GPAs you can calculate. But when you're talking to the caliber of Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, a 3.5 unweighted is the biggest red flag for me. What about you?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. This case study, this student seems to be on the cusp. Meaning it's a good GPA, but like you said, it's probably, you know, half B's, half A's, there's a couple C's sprinkled in there. It's not at the quality of the cream of the crop, the top 10 universities out there, the Ivy Leagues. So the advice I would give is the college list needs to be balanced out more. There needs to be some nice fits and safeties in there sprinkled throughout. That's why I call it top heavy. Definitely ambitious, but you either have to address the red flag, as Jay, you were mentioning, with maybe some accelerated programs, some summer programs to hedge against those negative grades, show some maybe community college work in those classes, show some better SAT2s or better scores on standardized tests that can hedge against a negative grade, like a C or many Bs in a certain class. But yeah, the first thing you got to do is rehash the college list, make it more balanced, put some more safety and nice fits in there. So that's what I would say.
When I'm thinking as an AM counselor, when I'm doing these types of initial meetings, I'm not only just addressing what I see as the big red flags. For here, it's the GPA. But I'm immediately thinking about redemption. I'm immediately thinking, how can I help provide a solution to this? And so that's why initially I'd be interested in the GPA's trend. Have you been improving over time, or has it just been a peppering of B's and C's throughout the year? Because, you know, a lot of schools are looking for the holistic point of view of showing growth. So did you start off with bad grades in ninth grade, and are you showing improvement? If that's the case, there's a potential redemption factor here, right?
Actually, it's interesting, you know, like it's kind of weird to say, but it's almost better if you got a couple of C's, say, freshman year.
Don't you dare say that.
No. If you compare
then to have it like your junior
then to have
year.
Half A's, half B's freshman year, half A's, half B's sophomore year, half A's, half B's junior year.
Yeah.
It's like you're a half A, half B student.
Yeah. Calculates to the same GPA, but it's a different picture.
Exactly. But if you had a couple C's freshman year, then you get straight A's sophomore, straight A's junior, you're showing the colleges that, okay,
absolutely,
you took a turn. You're
absolutely
now a new student. You are not that freshman student that you were now as a junior.
I have a question, though. Then how do you feel about the test scores? Because my initial impression is they're a little lukewarm, right? You have 1480 on the SAT1. SAT2s, none of them are 800s. They're kind of lingering in the 750-ish range. The AP scores, you have 1-5, calculus AB, but the rest are 4s and 3s. How do you feel about the test scores in relation to
On the cusp. That's the same thing.
Yeah, so a couple of things. The first, to play devil's advocate, you know, when we look at numbers like this and we're solely looking at numbers, it's very hard to give a full advice, right? It's really difficult to do that because we're not taking into consideration, you know, like how amazing they are as Key Club Vice President. We're not taking into consideration their personality. We're not taking into consideration kind of these other things that college admissions are looking for as well to find the holistic side of this student. But I think it's valuable to see how both of you are reacting to the scores in itself, right? Because regardless, scores tell a story in itself. And I think you guys are asking the right questions of, okay, when was this how did this 3.5 get calculated? Was it a C in freshman year? Is it just B's? Are they half A's and half B's their entire high school career? The biggest advice for college lists at this point is don't ever be so top heavy, right? Even if you are a perfect 4.0 unweighted GPA student, there's so many other things that colleges are going to take into consideration. So like both of you have mentioned right now, this student is very, in terms of numbers, very much on the cusp. So, for example, UCs, only having UCLA and Berkeley on their list, I would definitely recommend adding San Diego and Santa Barbara and Davis and Irvine because it is one application. And I would also recommend, you know, it looks like this student kind of likes science type schools, looking at Hopkins and Northwestern. So they might want to add schools like Carnegie Mellon or even American University, which a lot of students don't realize are pretty good with pre-med, if that's a decision that the student tries to make. We also don't know like what major they want to do. So there's a lot of unknown variables in this, you know, data. But I think it's really interesting for you guys to hear Pankaj and Jay talk about the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And why the numbers are valuable here.
It's we immediately go to the numbers as a basis, but also, Jenny, to your comment, it's also relative to what they come in with. Meaning they came in with a heavy college list, like a really aggressive college. Let's say they came in saying, okay, I'm gonna my college list is gonna be this. I wanna apply to UC Santa Cruz, I wanna apply to Drexel, I wanna apply to American, University of Colorado, you know, maybe Scripps. Mm-hmm. And then we can say, then Jay and I would look at this, or I would look at this and say, okay, you might want to consider Pomona, mm-hmm. or consider one of the Ivy Leagues. You see, it's all relative compared to what they come in with.
Right.
Because then they're not reaching far enough. And then you kind of give them some top heavy schools to kind of reach for.
Right, right.
But this one, when it comes with, you know, 10 all schools, top 10, you know, top 15, you got to kind of, like as Jay said, bring them back down to earth. Well, because we've seen students that go to those schools.
So it's funny that you guys say it that way. On the other hand, I can approach it in so many different ways. The way I approached this one was, you have a college list, and I'm kind of playing the consultant role more so than the advisor role here. And what I mean by that is, when you come to me with a list like this, my initial reaction is, okay, is there a strategy, is there a solution to your situation that can make this list viable? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I started with the numbers. Mm-hmm. I first have to indicate the weaknesses of the numbers, the characteristics of how those numbers were generated, like the 3.5 unweighted, and then from there, see if there is still a chance to get into these level of schools. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way I approach that. I look at what the client wants, and they say, okay, these are the things that we may have to look into. So I started with the numbers, but then once I get a stable understanding, hey, your numbers are kind of lukewarm, and you're going to hopefully have some sort of a redemption or growth story to mitigate that lukewarmness. Then I go into the extracurriculars to see if I can find a way out for the student, which is, hey, you're in the tennis varsity team. Are you CIF potential?
Are you state ranked?
Exactly. Do you have a recruitment potential to mitigate it? Then I look at the Key Club Vice President, Journalism Environmental Club, Rocketry Club, and Red Cross Club, and I'm thinking, is there a major potential here? Do we have a major strategy we can work with? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's true. You know, I hate to say it myself, but I do initially gravitate to the numbers because I honestly think that's what admission officers begin with as well. Mm-hmm. I always say to my students, in Korean, there's a kibonjeongdo range you have to reach for each school.
And a minimum range.
Yeah, there's a minimum expectation for you to reach. And if you don't reach it, you know, you better have some phenomenal activities. I was able to look at the activities in advance, and I noticed, like I said, varsity tennis and a couple of leadership positions. But again, without the major choice, this becomes a question mark to me. I think, again, the college list is not unviable. It's definitely top heavy. And, you know, in all honesty, a lot of parents that we service come in with this type of mindset. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong at all. But the challenge with this case is that now he or she, the student, is an 11th grader.
Correct.
The timing window is closing.
So yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about like what big advice we would give an 11th grader at this point. Like, where should they be focusing their time, right? Like, should they be studying SATs over the summer so that they can get a higher SAT score? Should they retake their SAT2s, right? Like, at this point, what is valuable to them? Because they're going to be a 12th grader in a few short months, and they should be working on their college apps as well. I think we can just really quickly talk about sports and college recruitment. You know, I think I would ask the student if they're planning, how good they are, first of all, in tennis team varsity. Like, are they CIF ranked? Do they even have a possibility? Because colleges do look at sports recruitment, athletic recruitment. So is this one way in which we can possibly get a D3 or D2 or even a D1 college to look at the student for tennis? Is this a way that we can potentially get her into Hopkins or another college? So that would be one piece of area that we can potentially look at. Other big advice you would give the student at this point?
Well, I'd be looking at what their strengths are. And right now I see a potential strength related to major choices. At 11th grade right now with these stats, you got to be thinking about what major you're going to put down when you apply. Mm-hmm. Every single school, or pretty much all of them, the ranked top 50 U.S. News will ask you for not just a first choice major, even a second, if not a third choice major. And so based upon that, I'd want to, like, if I knew the major, I think it'd be a lot easier for me to help kind of give direction for the student. So by 11th grade, you should already know what major you want to apply through, because that's what I think molds what tests become important to you, what activities you should pursue over this summer. You know, I have a question for me that I'm still not able to answer myself, which is, would we recommend this 11th grade student to retake her tests or his tests. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a bit iffy for me because lukewarm
really
is that it's that middle ground category where I feel like you don't need to, yet at the same time, if you have the time and if you're willing to commit yourself, why not?
Yeah.
And so this becomes a time management analysis of the student. Mm-hmm. What is the student, because the student might have to be doing tennis related things during the summer, which could be grueling and time intensive. And so it becomes a matter of opportunity cost.
And maybe they're going to an awesome summer program or research opportunity,
right?
That is valuable, and therefore, yeah, a 1480 is definitely a very very difficult place
for
to
the
get,
schools
for, yeah,
that
yeah.
we're pointing
and
to.
And as a junior, right? Like especially going into their senior year, you know what? You know, because schools like Yale, Harvard, Princeton, and even Northwestern, Pomona College, Williams, they're going to be looking at students, especially if the student is Asian American, 1520, 1530 and upward. And so in that atmosphere, the student is a little bit low, which is why it would be difficult for us to judge. But if there are other valuable things that the student could potentially be doing, then
I might be able to give out some suggestions. Like, for example, when I'm looking from a major point of view, mm-hmm. I see that the science is a little bit on the heavier side with Rocketry Club, Environmental Club. I'm looking at the test scores. The highest SAT2 that this student has is a 770 in chemistry, and the mm-hmm. chemistry score of a 4 is honestly not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this summer this student was doing something related to chemistry, like going to the Furch department at UCI and doing an internship there,
mm-hmm.
I consider chemistry not that impacted. A lot of Asian students want to lean towards pre-med, so that tends to become biology, bioengineering, BME, biomedical engineering, public health. So I would begin by suggesting big picture solutions, like what about the major in chemistry? And then from there, making sure the student realizes I'm not choosing the major the rest of their life mm-hmm. for their career.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, for me, it's showing what you're good at and applying through that to get into college. Because once you get into college, you have the freedom of choice to, you know, explore and ultimately change your major. And so I'd begin by giving like this solution premise, which is, okay, what if we pursued this with a approach in the major choice of chemistry?
Mm-hmm.
From there, what would we have to do? Well, mm-hmm. in that case, the SAT2s, you don't really have to retake.
Yeah.
You have a 750 in math, which is all right. It's all right. Chemistry 770, great, that's fine. AP test scores are there. SAT1-wise, I would love to see if we can squeeze some time in, maybe aim for... It's a little too late to sign up for the August test or prep for it by now, but I'd say maybe the October test, just kind of YOLO it, see if you could do really well. If not,
YOLO.
And by YOLO, I don't mean just not study for it, but like do it and hope for the best.
Yeah.
If you don't get the best, it's okay. You still have the 1480.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then from there, I'd try to synergize a lot of her or his extracurricular activities to reflect the chemistry aspect. And that's better done when you do the essays, when you write the essays for the applications.
So would you recommend accelerated program for this?
You know, I might even considering, like, again, I'm not going to push this on the student or the parent, but if the student might be interested in an accelerator program related to chemistry, maybe I hit the spot and they're like, you're right, Jay, I think chemistry is one of my favorite interests. I might be able to introduce them to
like pharmacy
accelerated or a master's in pharmacy. If you're thinking grad school and the tenure approach. But aside from that, chemistry can also be relatable to pre-med. The downside for this particular student is he or she doesn't have any pre-med related activities.
Mm-hmm.
Red Cross, do you think that really counts as a pre-med activity? What do you guys think?
It can, depending on the activities that
you
do in Red Cross.
Exactly. Yeah. I think some Red Cross clubs, they just do fundraising, but there are some students that really like put on events like blood drives and help with the blood drives and things like that. And I think that could be valuable.
Right. So for accelerated program, let's say for BSM, MD pre-med or for pharmacy, the question at hand will become, can you find pre-professional, pre-clinical experience?
Mm-hmm.
I.e. for pharmacy, it'd be shadowing a pharmacist.
In the short time
In
that
the
we
short
have.
Time that you have. So this becomes like a logistics issue, right?
Yeah.
If that's viable, then I would suggest that as a potential option. If not, I'd argue against it because there's a lot of competition when it comes to accelerated programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just do like maybe one quick advice on just looking at what we have in front of us. What kind of essays or personal statements would you want this student to kind of talk about in terms of topics that might give them a more maybe value in terms of the college applications?
Yeah. So when I look at essay topics, you look at the ones that kind of can potentially stand out,
mm-hmm.
that are unique and different. And immediately when I'm looking through this curriculum of data points for the student,
you know, Rocketry Club is unique mm-hmm. and new, and mm-hmm. it's also contemporary. You know, they're talking about rebooting NASA and having these missions to Mars and going to finding, you know, life-sustaining planets out there. And so it seems very contemporary to our times.
Yeah.
So I would explore that a little bit more with mm-hmm. a student. Like, what did you do in Rocketry Club?
Yeah.
Like, was it just like a little participation thing, or did you actually dive deep and
right.
explore issues and kind of broad, difficult topics and stuff like that? So that's one area I would look into. Also, tennis team varsity, you know, there's nothing like competitive growth mm-hmm. and like learning from things, mm-hmm. you know, learning from a match, learning from losing, learning from winning, you mm-hmm. know, all those kind of things. So there's always stories that are embedded in those kind of athletic competition too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'd have two suggestions off the bat. Firstly, I always use essays as an extra real estate or extra platform to mitigate some issues that you have in your application. Mm-hmm. This point being the GPA. So it might get a little personal, but I would ask the student, hey, was there any circumstances, personal, you know, at home problems that may have contributed to your academic downfall? Mm-hmm. You know, did your parents go through a divorce, or did you have a really tough time because of family illness or anything of that sort? Mm-hmm. Anything that could shed light into not necessarily making an excuse, though it kind of is, but at least giving context, because test score wise, you show that you have the aptitude. It's just that the GPA doesn't reflect that. So there's a hidden story there in which maybe you can really turn that into your favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for all we know, the B's or C's can be in PE or art or dance, and we're like, well, those are the easiest classes in the world. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, so there might be a
story in the transcript.
Redeeming,
you know?
Story there. Yeah. The second advice I'd give most likely might relate to the major direction I would make for the student, or advice to the student. So let's say, for example, you're going to go the chemistry route because you have the stronger test scores there. Then how does chemistry relate to Rocketry Club? How does chemistry relate to Environmental Club? You know, often we always talk about environmental science as its own little entity, but environmental science has so many little subsects mm-hmm. from an ecological point of view, life bio point of view, chemical point of view, mm-hmm. civil engineering point of view. And so I'd ask that you try to intertwine your major direction of chemistry with an activity that you're doing ongoing.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That would be kind of my two starter points.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to our second case study that we'll be focusing on at this point. So this student, their GPA is a 3.9 unweighted, 4.6 weighted. They go to a public high school that's medium competitive in Maryland, so the East Coast. They're in 10th grade. They haven't taken any SAT-1. They've taken SAT-2, Math Level 2, got a 780, AP Human Geography 5, World History 5. Extracurriculars, they are class president, I'm assuming in their 10th grade, treasurer of comedy sports, varsity water polo, drama club, science olympiad, MUN, Model United Nations, and mock trial. They haven't really created a college list yet, but this person's dream school is Stanford. So Ooh. Let's kind of talk through this. And they are a 10th grader, so they're going to be a junior. So just general kind of advice. I mean, the first thing I would start with is hopefully they're studying their SAT-1s this summer and trying to get that over with early their junior year, as I'm sure their junior year is going to get pretty packed. What else, guys? What else do you
Can I start by saying, you know, the case study one versus case study two, the listeners mm-hmm. that actually see them on our website kind of mm-hmm. can see them on paper. Mm-hmm. Case study one, I always kind of characterize as kind of too late to the party. They're coming to us for damage control. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I see case study number two as a 10th grader, it's got all the right starts. It's like, oh man, I'm excited. What can we do to help work this student mm-hmm. through? But yeah, just want to start by saying a very different scenario between an 11th grader coming in asking for help versus a 10th grader asking for help.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. almost like you're the artist ready to mold
or
create something here.
I like case study two.
Yeah, case study two has a lot of the key ingredients mm-hmm. you need for a top tier school.
I like case study two.
the trick is getting the key ingredients together into a dish that can be acceptable to Stanford or mm. Harvard or something mm. like that. So as Jenny mentioned, they're definitely missing SAT-1, which is a key ingredient. So you got to work on that. That's got to be an area of emphasis. Mm-hmm. The GPA is good. Solid student. You know, you can look by the extracurriculars also that they're, you know, class president, they're involved, they're making the most of these opportunities, mm-hmm. Science Olympiad. I mean, a lot of good things are embedded in here. And I wouldn't be too concerned about the stories and the essays yet. I would just focus immediately on the SAT one, getting that on sound footing. And if they have the academics, if their grades are what are representative, then the SAT should follow if you prepare and study well. So that should be that would be my first area of focus. I have no problem with the dream school being Stanford. There's nothing risky at this moment. Even the math level 2C at 780 is great. You got 5 on APs. Another area of emphasis I would point out is the ongoing AP tests. If this student continues to take AP tests, it looks really, really good if you get 5s on all your AP tests. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you consistently get a 5 on AP test number 3, 5 on AP test number 4.
The dream.
Yeah, 5 on test AP. I mean, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. But we've seen students, and those are the students that I have seen go to Yale, Princeton, Stanford, Harvard. Mm-hmm. So that, APs may just seem like another test, but if you can consistently, and this student already has 2. In geography and world history.
And they're both 5s.
They're both 5s. So that trend can continue. That shows a college admission officer at these schools that, okay, this student knows their academics. Mm-hmm. We have minimal risk here in giving an acceptance there. So that would be another area of focus I would pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at the GPA, and I want parents and students to pay attention to this. The way I look at it is simple. It's you got 3.9 unweighted. That tells me, okay, you got more A's, more likely maybe 1 or 2 B's, which is an offshoot, which is all right at this point in 10th grade. 4.6 weighted, meaning you're taking weighted classes, you're taking AP or IB level classes, which is great. So notice how I just see that 3.9 unweighted, 4.6 unweighted, and I move on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Top tier student. Yep. Mm-hmm. Don't need to look at it again. I look at the test score, SAT 1, none, missing, and it's a 10th grade student. I want your opinion on this. If you're a tier 1 potential aiming for a school like Stanford, you've been immersed into the culture of high level education, I would be wondering, do you at least have a practice test score? You're a 10th grader, if you're aiming for these schools, I personally set a standard that by the 10th grade first semester, you should have an official test score. Mm-hmm. If not just for applying to college, at least using it as like a pre-score for summer programs that were more and more asking for SAT scores. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think? Like, is 10th grade, some people might argue it's too early for a student to have an SAT score by 10th grade.
Yeah.
I would disagree. But what do you guys think?
I agree, earlier the better, but sometimes some schools and some regional areas in America or around the world don't put an emphasis on that.
I also think that that doesn't mean that you should go and take the actual SAT, but that you should definitely take some sort of practice test that allows you to know. And I know a lot of high schools, you as a 10th grader, you're required to take the PSAT 10 at least in October at a lot of high schools, so you should have a general basis by that time. I actually tell my 8th graders going into 9th grade that they should be looking both at the SAT and ACT over the summer to figure out what type of tests that they want to potentially take. So I don't think it's too early, especially if you're thinking about high top tier schools. And the other thing I want to mention is that this student, if they already took their math level 2 as a 10th grader and got a 780, that means that they are already they've already mastered the topics for math that are going to be covered in their SAT 1. So it's not like, SAT 1 covers up to trigonometry, algebra to trigonometry for math. And so if you are a student who've already taken math level 2 as a 10th grader, academically, you're pretty much there. Maybe you just need to prep a little bit more on the reading and writing parts of the test, but I don't think it's too early, especially for this student to be looking at SATs as a 10th grader.
I agree. I think rather than being too early or too late, this is just the perfect time. Now is the time to get your SAT in order. SAT 2 wise, I'm not too worried about having a certain number of SATs to done by 10th grade. On average, I see maybe 1 to 2. So math level 2 tends to be a pretty common one that's done by 10th grade, along with maybe a foreign language if you're a Chinese native or Korean native taking the SAT 2 language test in November. I think the other SAT 2s will come naturally in junior year. Normally when you take the AP tests, like AP US History junior year in May, right after in June, you could take the SAT 2 US
bio.
History, Chem AP or Bio AP, etc. So SAT 2 wise, I'm not too concerned about. But SAT 1, you better have a plan. You better have some sort of a set goal as to when you want to take the test and what score you want. And by the way, Stanford, anyone want to put out a number for what they would want at minimum for as a counselor for their student?
For SAT 1?
Yeah, for a school like Stanford.
I want to say, I honestly think that 1520, 1530 and above is fine.
Wow, I was going to say 1540. What about you, Punkish?
That's pretty close. Okay. But, you know, low 1500s.
Yeah,
low
1500s. I would say that that's fine.
I don't like to give ranges that directly. I mean, this student had, like, if you take this student's case study two's trajectory.
Yeah.
with the college list that case study one had,
right?
It's like right aligned there.
Yeah,
I mean, they're aligned very nicely.
Yeah,
including Stanford.
I would want the student to be a little bit more open-minded about colleges.
I agree.
When we talk about college lists, I think this is a good time to.
I want to apply to one school, and that is Stanford.
and that is it.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah. So.
So we're looking at the numbers first, right? The academics, but then you know what really makes me excited is I look at the extracurriculars.
I know.
So let's go through that one more time, okay? Class president. What does that tell me? It means people like this student.
He has a good personality.
Good personality.
El Presidente.
Right. You may, you know, in high school, you may be cynical and argue that it's a popularity contest, and you are absolutely right.
okay. But that's means you have a good personality.
Is this becoming a therapy session for you again? Jay? Are you trying to tell us something?
No, guys. I'm just trying to say. President of a class, awesome. Comedy, sports, treasurer, water polo on top of that in varsity in 10th grade. Holy cow, you're a machine. Drama club. Then you also have Science Olympiad, MUN, and mock trial. You know, first legitimate question, I don't even know if you'll be able to handle all this. Will you be able to continue with all seven of these activities throughout? Probably not. But what made me kind of take a step back and feel excited was I didn't sense that it was an Asian student.
Mm.
I don't even know if this is an Asian student or not. But,
yeah.
But the first one, when you know, case study one, I kind of got the sense, yeah, Asian student.
It was Key Club, huh? Key Club in Korea.
I think it was Key Club, tennis,
maybe,
and Red Cross all together. I don't know. It was,
or maybe Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Hopkins.
Maybe that was the college list tells me their ethnicity right away. But, you know, when I'm looking at the extracurricular for case study number two, what a breath of fresh air.
Oh, gosh,
It just totally changes my expectations of this student. And to have the academics in 10th grade on such solid footing as of now.
I'm excited to meet this student.
I'm excited to. Yeah. I hope I get to meet this student. but what makes the extracurricular stand out so much? Comedy, sports, drama club. Am I being, you know, prejudiced or am I being kind of biased about this that I find them to be way not Asian?
I think it's the combination of maybe class president, comedy, sports, and drama club.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
Because a lot of, I would say it is pretty well known that Asian students, these are clubs that Asian students don't do, honestly. Mm, so I think when we get this, it's very like, wow, that's interesting. I think I have one student that I'm helping right now that's in comedy sports.
Mm-hmm. So then if one last bit of advice, if you were to lean to the college list aspect. So applying to Stanford, obviously that's a, you know, only applying to one school is a bad idea.
Yeah.
On average, we recommend
fail idea,
yeah, I'd say, you know, 10 to 12, if not 12 to 15 colleges.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the major choice is, but in 10th grade, now is the right time to sit down and have that discussion either with yourself or with your parents or with your counselor. You know, what's the major that I want to focus my next 2 years, 11th and 12th grade, towards? But for the college list, I don't think Stanford is out of the picture for this kind of student.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a student like this should be aiming more like what Punkish said to case one's list of Harvard, Stanford, Princeton. Overall, I'm very excited to meet the student, and I'm sure admission officer would be too.
Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, it's just such... there's a lot of uniqueness to this student. And I think, honestly, when I look at this the extracurricular activity list, I'm like, wow, this student must be genuinely enjoying their high school life.
Right?
That's kind of how I feel with this student. You know, they're like kind of doing things that they really like to do. You know, they're involved in water polo. By the way, same thing for sports and college recruitment for this student. I would ask the same question, you know, water polo, how great is your high school team? How successful are you on that team? Do you play club water polo? You know, what do your coaches think? I think that would all have to be taken into consideration.
I have advice to give, and then I have a point I want to make. So the advice first, and for this student, you know, when you're applying to Stanford, I hope I'm not being fallacious here or incorrect here when I say that every college has a certain thing that they're looking for in their students,
mm-hmm.
right? So I usually characterize Yale as global thinkers because they have a global scholars program for their summer program. Mm-hmm. I think when I'm looking at Stanford, and I'd be open to opinions here from the rest of y'all, I think they're looking for thinkers in terms of future.
Driven,
entrepreneurs. And so an advice I'd give to the student would be, hey, you're into comedy, sports, or drama club. Have you ever thought about maybe starting your own YouTube channel where you're doing skits with your club or something like that? Mm. Being proactive and being a producer, creating something, I think can help stand out for Stanford. We had a student maybe 2 or 3 years ago who actually was a DJ. She did death metal. Name a Chinese girl who DJs death metal for radio.
DJ.
Right? And so I think something that helps you stand out, make you a content producer or some other form of producer would be great for Stanford. The question I want to pose to you guys is, I forgot. I'll come back to it.
It's Stanford.
So accelerated program for this student?
Ooh, accelerated program. I just don't see a particular angle. Is it pre-law? Is it pre-med? Is it pre-pharm? Is it pre-dental?
Yeah.
You know, is it a master's in engineering? Yeah.
Sometimes accelerated programs can be a little limiting.
Yeah.
You know, this case study two with this student, I mean, the world is open.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like so many opportunities
there. It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And so accelerated program, you don't want to pigeonhole, you know, him or her into one kind of area, especially if it's not defined yet.
Yeah, I'd ask the student to, you know, think about the major and then start, give him or her a year to kind of develop their interests and more to then pose the question. I'd introduce it to them, the concept of accelerated programs, so they understand. You remember, bear in mind, when I was in high school, I had no idea where you got a master's degree or PhD.
Mm.
I just know college and university, and I thought they were the same thing. Mm-hmm. And to many students, it still is. So in 10th grade, it's a great time to start talking to them about the difference between undergrad and graduate schools and their value and prestige in society today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I think...
It's okay, man. I thought PhD was player hater degree.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Dad joke, sorry.
Jesus.
Okay, so I think that is about going to wrap up our case studies this week. And also, hopefully this covered a lot of the different things that we talked about during this season as well. Please go back to our website or go on iTunes to listen to any of our season 1 or 2 episodes if you missed any, or our website at www.thehallpasspodcast.com. We'll be taking a short break and we'll be airing our season 3 in January 2018. For our next season, we hope to delve into more specific advice on college admissions while giving tips and tricks on the applications themselves and have a little bit more guest speakers who come in. And I know Jay's also thinking about some other projects that we have in mind for the Hall Pass podcast. So we're really, really excited to share season 3 with you guys in January. But feel free to email us or contact us at any point if you have any questions or topics that you guys would like us to cover. All right, until January. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Happy birthday, America.